myself with the oral submission as well as the written submission, and the department has responded to all of them. When we left for the house to go and be part of the proceedings, we were being advised by the parliamentary law advisor. We will resume with that now. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was busy explaining to the members on presumptions and why we don't regard the current presumptions as being problematic. And I think the last bit where I was trying to try and quickly wrap it up, I will maybe just go back and repeat that so that it makes clear sense to everyone. Like I said, in any civil case or criminal case, there's more than one element, is what we call it as lawyers, that must be proven. So, for instance, if we look at the fact that a person was, in fact, on the toll road and therefore owes money, there must be a summons issued against a person. You can't issue it against the car. So in order for the state to recover that money, we need a presumption about who was the driver of that vehicle. That can be very easily taken away. The driver simply says, I wasn't the driver, I was somewhere else, or I lent the car to someone, and that is sufficient. And as was explained on speeding fines, that is in fact a practice that is has been practiced, I don't know, for years, where if a person gets a speeding fine and the person was not driving the vehicle, they simply send a letter off to the relevant authority and the fine is simply switched over to the other person. So, like I said, I do not see any problem with it. It is not that a person is presumed guilty or presumed liable. It is simply that certain elements that are almost impossible for the state to prove is being deemed. So that was the aspect on that. I don't think there was anything else that I needed to address the committee on, but if I can take you back to an aspect that I spoke about where I said I've got a concern on the procedure, and that is where we're looking at SALGA's comments to include the impact study before the declaration for a toll road is made. I've gotten a response back from the NA table, and they are saying that they, and now we must remember that we're speaking about the NA table staff that has responded and given us their view. So there is a possibility that this committee might be able to, via political channels, get something done. But from the NA table's point of view, this is what they are saying. They're saying, first of all, the committee is already asking for the three-day rule to be suspended, and they doubt that the committee will get a further suspension of the rules on another matter. And that is the one where I'm saying, that is what the NA table is saying. I'm not saying that political will can't make it so, but there I can't advise the committee. That will be a political action that is taken. What the NA table suggests that this committee rather do is one of two things. First of all, the committee can go and actually execute in terms of that rule, in other words, ask the permission of the National Assembly, but then this bill will have to be postponed until the next year for the NA to consider it. The other option is that the committee either does a committee bill that specifically relates to the impact assessment, or the impact study rather, or request the department to submit a bill on that issue, and then the committee proceeds on the bill as it is without that inclusion from SALGA at this point in time. Now, we have some time to talk amongst ourselves, and I understand from the department, and in fact that was also presented, that there is a 76 bill that is waiting to come to be introduced. In fact, because of the matter of Tongwani, where we, as from a tagging point of view, that is almost our Bible that we go according to, we no longer have mixed bills. If a bill deals with 75 and 76 issues, the Constitutional Court in Tongwane simply said then it's a 76 bill, and that's it. So we no longer have mixed bills. So it is quite possible to bring this aspect of an impact study into that bill. And that is simply something that the committee can then follow up with the department. When is that bill coming? And if the department is too slow for the liking of the committee can still do a committee bill at that stage. So those are the options that the committee has in respect of that inclusion into Section 27. On all the other aspects, like I said, I was satisfied with the answers given by the department, and I don't foresee any constitutional problems. Thank you.
I have quite strong feelings about this, but perhaps I've misunderstood. So before I go having any strong feelings, let's just first see that I do understand what you just said. It seems to me that you're saying that the top table have told you that we can't make an amendment to this bill for some reason. I don't understand why. Why can we not make an amendment to this bill? I mean, we are the committee that deals with this bill, and you seem to be conflating two issues. The one issue is the legal question of whether there's a technical problem with our amendment. In other words, our amendment is somehow unconstitutional or something, or on the other hand, it's a question of timing. In other words, there isn't enough time to process amendments to this bill. And I don't want to conflate those two. Can you explain which one of those you're talking about? Because, Chairperson, it sounds very complicated, and I may have misunderstood that.
Can I first explain that it is not the table that said we cannot have the amendment. It is the parliamentary legal advisor that advised us that we are dealing with an amendment of the bill. And what we are inserting there was not there in the bill in terms of the amendment. And therefore, she had an opinion, which is what she is going to explain, of using rule number 249. Will explain, and that is what she went to find out as to whether it is possible for us to effect that rule. She is going to explain.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me maybe take the members back to Rule 249. 249 says, the committee, if it is a bill amending provisions of legislation, may seek the permission of the Assembly to inquire into amending other provisions of that legislation. In other words, when we have an amendment bill before a committee, if the committee looks at that amendment bill and says, we have the bill here, but in the principal act, there is something else that we want to amend, and that something else is not incidental or consequential to what we have in the amendment bill, then the committee must first seek the permission of the National Assembly to inquire into making that amendment. For me, the best explanation of why this is the case is that when you draft legislation, there's always policy that should inform legislation. Before the bill comes to Parliament, it goes to Cabinet, where that policy is hashed out and it forms into legislation. Now the bill is before Parliament, before a committee of Parliament, and of the National Assembly, in fact. And this committee is saying, there is something else that we want to affect, a change to the principal legislation. So we want to expand, and it's not something that is very aligned to what we have before us. So then the National Assembly must say, we agree, policy-wise, et cetera, et cetera. So that is the rule, that is the hurdle that is before this committee. It's not constitutional, it is simply procedural. And that is where the problem comes in, and that's where the NA table says they think we will not be able to suspend this rule. That means a longer period of time is needed to affect the amendment. But the amendment is 100% constitutional. I have no problem with the amendment.
Chairperson, then I understand now what the issue is. The issue is that the amendment that SALGA is requesting, the department wants to place it not within the amendments that are before us, but within the principal bill, which means we are not amending what's in front of us. We are amending something else because these are amendments. So we don't have the entire bill here to work with. That's the problem. I understand now the problem. Then we have one or two choices. One choice is to take a bit more time and get the department to do that, and I don't know what the procedure is because you're indicating if we have more time, we can still do it. I don't quite know why the time makes a difference, but anyway, I accept that. We can do it in January or whatever. The other alternative is for the department to put that amended clause in a different place, to put it here in the amendments and not into the Principal Act, because I must think logically now for a moment and not just legally, because the logic is this. SALGA wants the amendment because these amendments have created a problem for SALGA, not the Principal Act. It's not the existing act which has created the problem for SALGA. It's the e-toll addition, which we are doing now, which creates the problem for SALGA, and the reason is quite simple. The e-toll is urban tolling. The other tolls we have, which are in the Principal Act, cover those long-distance tolls, which don't affect the metro cities, which SALGA has got a mandate to defend today. The e-toll affects urban centers, which are metro cities. Therefore, it's the new amendment that is pushing the traffic onto the roads of those cities. Therefore, it's the amendment that is giving rise to their request for the mitigating factors. So this amendment causes their request for that phrase to be inserted, that mitigating factors be put into place. The Principal Act did not lead to SALGA's request because the Principal Act is not creating the problem that they are trying to solve with that clause. So essentially, SALGA is saying, please put that clause in the amendments that deal with e-tolling, wherever it is in the country. The department then put the amendment in the Principal Act, which led to this problem. If the department didn't do that, if the department took that clause and put it in a different place, i.e. put it in these amendments that are in front of us today, the top table problem falls away because we are not tampering with the original act. We are amending the wording of the amendments that are before us, and you no longer have that problem. We're not falling under rule, I forget the number that you just mentioned, because that rule applies to us wanting to amend things that are not in front of us. So either we do what SALGA asked us, which is to amend this set of amendments to include that phrase, or we have to wait. And you seem to indicate that there's a process that can be followed that takes a longer time to do what SALGA has asked us to do. But SALGA has not asked us to amend the Principal Act. That's a decision which the officials over there took just now, this morning.
I'm just looking at the process going forward because to me, I thought that the three-day rule in terms of to waiver would apply in this instance so that it is debated on Thursday. But it seems to me you are saying those subtle that we are unable to do that. Hence, you propose that we should fire through the political parties to reach a consensus. Can you explain to me, because I want to look at, is it possible that we debate this on Thursday or not? I want to start from there before coming to what my honourable member is raising. Because I do understand what he's raising. My also concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, it's two separate processes. This committee is going to request that the three-day rule be suspended. Whether that will be granted or not, I do not know whether it has already been granted or not. I'm not sure. There will have to be a request for that done. So that is one process on its own. It's a total separate issue. And it can be waived, and if that rule is waived, then if this committee submits its report on Wednesday afternoon, it will be tabled for Thursday for debate. So that is one separate issue on the one side. On the issue of 249, maybe I was not 100% clear. The amendment that is required in order to give effect to what Salga is requesting, unfortunately, requires us to amend a different section in a different subsection in the Principal Act. So even the what we look at is we go through all the sections in the amendment bill, and we see whether this issue that, because I agree, the issue arose because of the amendment bill. It is not that it arose in the Principal Act, because then the department would already have brought it in before this committee. So the problem is that an amendment bill was drafted. Salga looked at it and said, ooh, this is something that we would like to see in the end when this Principal Act is amended at the end. So the question is, how do you put this in? Where do you fit it in? And what we need to do for 249 is, if you go through the whole of the amendment bill and there is any issue in there that relates to this impact study, then this committee can simply do the amendment and there's no questions asked. Let me give you an example of the regulation and the fact that we want the regulations, once published, to be put before the committee. Now, the amendment bill deals with the regulations, and they deal with the regulations must be published. So we can say, this is very consequential. It is very much on the same thing. We are dealing with regulations. The long title, in fact, makes provision that the regulations are being changed. So we can simply slot it in, even though it was not part of the original bill. So that is the kind of amendment that this committee can make. The problem with the Salga request is that it does not fit into anything that is currently in the amendment bill. Now, what then happens is that the committee does a report, and this is where the time factor comes in. The committee does a report. The committee explains, this bill is before us. The following request has come up during public hearings. We are of the opinion this is a very good request and that we would like to include it in the amendment bill that is before us. However, because it is not a consequential or an incidental to items currently in the bill, we need permission to make this further amendment. That report then goes to the House. The House considers the amendment, and if the House gives approval, it comes back to this committee, and this committee can then accept that amendment. So that is why there's a bit of a problem insofar as the timing is concerned. So this committee can absolutely do it, but because it is not incidental, there needs to just be a report to the NA must approve, comes back. So you have that time lapse. Whereas that is in fact still an option, but then it won't be able to go on Thursday. The other option is that there is a bill on its way, and it can simply be inserted into that bill, and if the department is not fast enough in bringing that bill to this committee, then this committee does its own bill, and we then draft that, and it simply goes the same route as another introduced bill would go. Madam Chair, the other Section 76 bill, this committee hasn't seen. The committee has to take the word of the department that it is there, but nothing stops the committee even at this stage to say, we don't even want to wait for that. We don't know if it exists. We simply want to go ahead and do a committee bill on this specific issue. Then our office, in fact, will assist the committee to draft the bill, to do the report, to request. We have done it very recently. The bill did not go ahead, but we have done the process, so it is not very difficult to duplicate. It can be done.
sorry, Chair. Just to add from what has been said by my colleague, because we've been discussing this. If I look at Rule 249, I'm Malu Singolo, I'm from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Chairperson, if you look at Rule 249, if you look at 3B specifically, it says the committee, if it is a bill amending provision of legislation, it means this bill amends the provision of the Principal Act, may seek the permission of the Assembly to inquire into amending other provisions of that legislation, which means this bill was introduced as amending the Principal Act. Now, SALGA is coming with the proposals today, and we are happy with those proposals of SALGA, but there must be a way of effecting those proposals according to the rules. So it means, I was still at the Assembly, amend the provision of the coming to see, committee may, or if ordered by the Speaker, must consult any other committee that has a direct interest in the substance of the bill. The other requirement. The committee may consult the member in charge of the bill. Maybe it's a committee, a bill that has been introduced by the committee. Going to see. The committee may consult the JTM on whether any amendments to the bill proposed in the committee may affect the classification of a bill or may render the bill constitutionally or procedurally out of order. F, may not propose an amendment that affects the classification of the bill except as provided in sub-rule 4 or joint rule 163 or render the bill constitutionally or procedurally out of order within the meaning of rule 161. The committee may recommend approval or rejection of that bill or present with its report an amended bill or a redraft of the bill. Okay, I'm trying to say that it doesn't necessarily mean that the process is not acceptable, but we are asking ourselves if there will be a time, because when I'm looking at this, it means that a permission must be asked from somewhere, you know. But if you look at, I'm talking about suspension now. If you look at Rule 3, any provision of this rule relating to the business or proceedings at a meeting of this House or of a committee of this House may be suspended by resolution of this House. It means, in my view, it's a National Assembly, not a committee. The suspension of any provision must be limited in its operation to the particular purpose for which that suspension has been approved. You know, the suspension can be there, but everything must be approved by the House, which means this is possible, but there must be approval somewhere. But I don't know the time, because apparently this bill must go to National Assembly on Thursday. But when we were discussing with my colleagues, we were thinking about some options. It's either we take this bill as it is to the National Assembly, the other part which was suggested by SALGA be attended to next year, either by the committee amendments, bill which will be proposed by the whole committee, or by the department. It was one who were just thinking about it, you know. It will be up to the committee to decide, because the bill belongs to the committee.
Honorable Chair,
Thanks, Chairperson. What I was trying to do was to fix it so that it can go faster by moving that clause from the original bill into the amendments. But it seems like both legal experts are telling me you can't do that, so I accept their view. But, Chairperson, there's three things going on. There's, first of all, the three-day rule, which first we have to get permission to suspend. It hasn't been granted. It hasn't been to that forum yet. Then there's this question of this amendment, which we seem to agree on, that SALGA has requested, but technically we have to go first ask permission of the House to do, which we can only do, I think, tomorrow or when a report is written. Then there's also potentially other amendments. I mean, I asked for an amendment, which I'm not sure. I think everybody was happy with to put that clause in from the other act, requesting that the minister send a copy of the draft regulations here, and that's got to be put in. And we haven't finished deliberating. I'm not sure whether there are other issues here that we haven't dealt with. It sounds to me like we are going to have to take some time, because otherwise we're going to go back to SALGA and say, sorry, we couldn't do it now, you're going to have to wait, and then... I mean, SALGA's concern is practical. The traffic is going to move, and what mitigating factors are in place. It's going to cost them. The roads are going to wear down. There are going to be accidents, and they're going to have to clean the road. They're going to have to maintain the roads. We've got complaints from residents who live in towns along the N3 that are not on the N3 toll road, and all these big trucks come off the toll road and drive through their small town, and now they're emailing me, and I'm thinking I must send it to the chairperson because I don't have the power to fix it. But that's the problem. It's a real problem. We've already seen it on the towns parallel to the N3 that are complaining their roads are being worn down by the trucks that avoid the toll, and the cities are saying that's exactly what you're going to do to us, and we need to, you know, not make promises to them. We need to work on this bill. Anyway, that's my view. I feel we should do it properly and do it once.
Are there any other views? What I hear as an advice is that the process of Parliament that we are addressing, and the provision of the bill, the amendment, whether the trust are damaging now, that bill is actually that if we insert that tomorrow, better, because it speeds up the process and ensures that there is mitigation, discussion around the mitigation. I don't see any problem in us either asking for permission to waive the 3 days requirement that is required, or delaying this proposal of SALGA and bring it in as a committee amendment, or inserting it, having the department inserting it in section 76, because whatever route that will take us to the same direction. What we seek to achieve is that before the minister declares the urban tolling, agency has to work in partnership with the municipalities that will be affected and the provinces that will be affected and undertake a study. That study also has to point out the mitigating factors that need to be considered as a result of deviation of transport, diverting from the tolled road to use the smaller road, which will then require planning in terms of, one, the congestion that will take place, the maintenance of those roads, and also the deployment of traffic police. That is what the SALGA is saying. And for me, whether we do it next year or we do it now, it is a requirement that SALGA is putting on the table that before the minister declares a tolling of an urban road, that is what has to be done. So the question of whether you do it when you are processing this bill, this amendment, or you bring in a new amendment, or you insert it as an amendment on the Section 76 bill, you will still achieve the same object. It's a new proposal that was not on the original amendments that were processed by cabinet. That is the issue. When this bill went through all the processes that bills go through, this particular amendment was not there, which is why it then requires us to take that consideration.
I just want to check from you, Chair, concretely, then what are you suggesting going forward, having to have this discussion on Thursday? Because I think the issue also is the question of the timing of this bill. Whether I say go forward and waive the proposal of SALGA so that we put it next year or come through the other processes. So that's where we are as to where do we take it from now. Are we able to debate this on Thursday? In the process thereof.
I think if we approve this bill as it is, without the amendments, are we not doing exactly what SALGA doesn't want? Because we literally are giving the minister to approve and institute an urban toll before considering what SALGA has requested, which is the impact on the roads. That's what they're asking us not to do. Are we not doing that very thing? Because we're saying to the minister, yeah, we've approved your bill without that. So then Friday or Monday, after it's gazetted and the president signed, he can then implement an urban toll without considering the requirement of mitigation for SALGA. It seems as though we're putting the cart before the horse. We're saying to SALGA, all right, we'll let the minister do it so long. We'll come back to you later.
Terry, if I can just, I mean, it's all about timing, and I think what's important to note is that this request of Salga has to do with the declaration of toll roads. So it's not affecting the implementation of the existing GFIP route. That was done in 2007-2008. With respect to the concern about the declaration of new toll roads, there's at this stage nothing in process that served before, that is serving before the minister. And any process that will start will definitely not start this year or early next year. And then there are all these requirements in terms of all the advertisements and so on that needs to follow. So I just want to, from a Sunroll perspective, just inform that there's not anything that's in process to be declared as toll roads, and that this process that must be followed can still be followed in due course.
Honourable,
Ollie, followed by Advocate Masombo. In fact, Chairperson, with all due respect, I think that's exactly why Sunroll came here. Is because, that's exactly why Salga came here. Because they're concerned that tomorrow the minister is going to implement the ETOL in Gauteng, and the minister has not, in their view, given them sufficient indication of what the mitigating factors are going to be, whether that's the amount of money that they can use to upgrade their roads, or whether it's speed humps to slow down the trucks that come through those small roads, or whatever it is. I'm not saying what those mitigating factors could be. But Salga certainly didn't come here because they worried about one day somewhere there's going to be a road. Salga's concerned because City of Johannesburg, City of Tswane, City of Ekurhuleni have said to them, we need to raise a flag. We're going to have to spend money maintaining these roads in Tswane and Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg, but we don't benefit from any of the toll money, or I don't know what the internal logic is. But clearly they came here now because they're concerned now about the implementation now. They're not worried about one day. It's going to be a long time, I think, before we get the next detail.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think it is worth noting that this particular bill that is before the committee, it is not empowering the minister to declare a road as a toll road. That particular declaration or that power is provided in terms of the principal act, the Sunroll Act. Therefore, the proposal by Salga, even if maybe the NA grants that particular permission, it wouldn't stop the decision of the minister to declare this GFIP road at toll roads, because the decision to declare is already taken a long time ago in 2007. I think it amplifies the point by Sandra. Therefore, the proposal will work in the future for those roads that will be put on the table and be advertised for declaration purposes. Then that particular section will start to be applicable. But for the purpose of this particular GFIP, the decision to declare is already taken by the minister based on what was submitted before him. Thank you, Chair. But before I finish, Chair, I need to mention that we accept the proposal by Salga, but for purposes of now and this current project, it's not going to assist because the decision is already taken. Thank you.
Can I say something here? JFIP has already been declared. JFIP is declared. What can assist the process of JFIP if we were to insert this law and ask permission for this law to be inserted, is that
speed up the process of consultation between SALGA and the minister and Sandra in terms of filling that gap that exists in terms of mitigating factors that SALGA feels are not there. That is the advantage of asking for this amendment to be inserted now. If we were to delay that, we would be holding SALGA's hand because they will have no ammunition to go to SANRA and also go to the minister to say, you have declared, GFIP was declared in 2007 without any mitigating factors having been considered. And as a result of that, because this amendment that has been done, we are then requesting to engage so that the effect of declaring GFIP a toll road are negative on us, has a negative impact. That is the advantage of taking the route of speeding up that. The route of delaying will make SALGA take longer to engage with both SANRAL and the minister to look at the mitigating factors. That is my view. So in view of that, I would then propose the option of going to the speaker and the house chair to effect negotiations between the parties that will then result with the 3 days requirement being waived so that we can loosen the chains that are holding SALGA to engage so that the negative impact of an already declared GFIP can be addressed. GFIP is already declared, but SALGA has identified a gap, and SALGA is proposing that in future we should do that. But if we were to insert that, we would also empower SALGA together with the city of Tshwane, the city of Ekurhuleni, and the city of Johannesburg to begin to engage with SANRA and the department and the minister to say the declaration of GFIP has got a negative impact on us because there were no mitigating factors that were taken into consideration about the negative impact of traffic that will be diverted into the roads that are actually impacting on our roads. They may even go to the Department of COCTA to say, lobby for the increase of our budget, because this is how the declaration of GFIP has impacted on us. And they will be using an amendment that has been effected, which means what they will be arguing on is something that we all agree with.
Well, I just want to say, members, parties will be leaving at a particular time, so we should be a little bit, just be very brief, all of us.
Chairperson, I agree with everything you said, but you just didn't say the magic phrase. And the magic phrase is that all happens if we ask the NA's permission to put SALGA's clause in. If that sentence is added to everything you said, then I'm with you. Because we have to ask the top table, the National Assembly, to give us permission, which might have to come in the form of a short report, to add the SALGA, then I'm with you. Then I'm with you.
That is what we are asking.
because without that, Salga has no recourse on the GFIF. They can't even start to negotiate that.
Then, Chairperson, shall I duly propose that we take that route and you lead the process in meeting the presiding officers for this that you have proposed, clearly as from we walk out of this room?
So we are in agreement that we are going to ask the presiding officers to allow this amendment to be inserted here and waive the 3 days requirement. Yes, we adjourn and then continue to work.
Sorry, Chair. I just want to be clear. So in the meantime, we can effect those